Thank you, Mr. West Huddle, getting us into a worship mood. Wonderful message in music. Okay, let's open the scriptures to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. This is a powerful chapter, the sending of the Holy Spirit. And this verse, namely because of the last phrase in it, is just one of the most precious verses we have. But let's begin with prayer. We need to be in prayer for Tish. She's not doing well tonight, so we need to be in prayer for her. We need to be in prayer for Nancy Becker and Don Becker. I talked with Vic Edwards today, and we just need to continue to be in prayer. He just keeps such an upbeat attitude, and is very difficult to speak, but keeps a wonderful attitude and just loves listening. And so we need to be in prayer for Vic and Cindy. We need to be in prayer for Kit's not here tonight. That's right. He's flying. So we need to be in prayer for Kit and his wife in Greece. And need to be in prayer for them. Let's see. I need to be in prayer for Harold Simonson. Simonson, very important. He just energy comes and goes with him, so we need to be in prayer for Harold. Need to be in prayer for Judah's mother, Christine. She's home now, and one of her sons is staying there for a while, but each passing day she gets stronger and stronger and likes being at home on her own. And her father, Harold, is not doing real well. We just need to keep him in our prayers also. Let's see, any other prayer requests that I'm... Of course, Mr. Hess, absolutely. Mr. Hess needs our prayers. And we need to be in prayer for Tana and her father. I guess Tana's on her way home now as I speak. She told me Sunday she's gone home Wednesday after work. And just see her father. So we need to be in prayer for them. Any other prayer requests? When does Nathan go home? Sunday. Okay. Well, let's see. We'll pray. We'll pray that he makes it to Sunday, and then we'll pray he makes it to the camp on Sunday. And I was in basic training and was home on a weekend pass. And had a major car crash, totaled the car, and went to the hospital that morning, Sunday morning, he checked everything and had bandages everywhere, and he said, well, we'll keep you in the hospital tonight for observation and let you go home tomorrow. And I said, no. I will be at Fort Polk by 5:00 this evening. And he said, are you in basic? And I said, yes. He said, oh, my. He said, you're going to hurt. Nothing's broke, but you're going to hurt. And I did hurt, but I made it back. And so we'll just be in prayer for Nathan. And just be in prayer for each other. Each other walking in the Spirit by faith puts you in the battle. And just be in prayer for each other in the battles that we fight. Okay, let's go into prayer. Prepare ourselves for our study of a wonderful passage in the Scriptures. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are to assemble ourselves tonight. Multitudes of people around this country are at various political gatherings. The problem in this country is not political. It's spiritual. So we thank you so much for the opportunity to assemble ourselves with other believers, to just open the Scriptures, see your plan for us, and to walk in the Spirit, Father, and reflect the glory of Jesus Christ by loving as Christ loved us. Father, we pray these, that the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to these things in the passage before us, a very powerful passage, and that it'll make a difference in our lives. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, John 14, and we move to verse 21. John 14, 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. This verse is packed with a lot of problems, but just the overall message of him disclosing himself to us is powerful enough. One of the problems or questions that jumps out at people in this passage is, I thought God already loved us. Because here it's almost conditional. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me shall be loved by my Father. I thought he already loved me. So what's going on here? And so let's take a look and see if we can work our way through this great verse and clear up some of these things. Okay, he who has and keeps these commandments. First of all, he who has. This is a present active participle of the verb eko. Eko means to have. It means to hold. But having these commandments is of little value unless you keep them. That's the kicker, keeping them. This is like the Jews in Romans 2. They have the law, but it's not doing them any good at all having the law, because they're not observing the law, and they're claiming to be saved by the law, so they have perverted the law. And so having these commandments is really of little value, and as a matter of fact, may do damage. Somebody has these things and then puts their confidence in having them and be distorted in their whole Christian life. So the Jews thought they were saved by just having the law, and therefore very difficult to witness to, and they will resent Paul's teaching. So he who has, we'll go ahead and take it the way it's in the text, he who has my commandments. All right, my commandments. Now, we noted this in verse 16. And it is not referring to all the commandments in the Bible. It's not referring to the Mosaic Law, all the commandments in the Old Testament. These are really two commandments, to believe and to love. These are the two fundamental commandments that he's being referred to here. To show this without just saying it and say, okay, you're supposed to believe it because I say so, let's look at 1 John chapter 3. Go to John's three epistles near the end of the New Testament. You come to 1 John, and we want to look at verse 3. 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3, and we'll start our reading in verse 22. 1 John 3, 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him. Now that would take some clarification and understanding. It's why people get so confused on prayer, because they take a verse like this, and I ask him and he didn't do it, so therefore this promise is not true. So we have to have some understanding of that, but that's not our purpose in this passage. Now let's go. Because we keep his commandments. I want you to know, before we go any further, they're in the plural. Commandments. And do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Verse 23. And this is his commandment. Ah! Singular. So we have the plural, then we have the singular. And here is the commandment. That we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And then it says, And love one another just as he commanded us. Okay, you can look at these as in the plural. In verse 23, you have first commandment, We believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Then you have a second commandment, and love one another. For believing is a verb and loving is a verb. They're not the same verb. So we have really two commandments. And to believe in the name of the Son of Jesus, of His Son Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us. So we have a singular, or we have a plural. You can look at it as a plural, two commandments, or you look at it as singular, one. Now, the issue here is faith in Jesus Christ, and then to love one another as I have loved you. This is the new commandment. This is the most difficult thing. He doesn't say that we all agree, that we all get along, that we all dress alike, that we all do this and look alike and all that. No, you love one another. This is tough. This is the most difficult. Nothing will make greater demands on your life than to love as Jesus Christ loved you. So we can look at it as one commandment, believe in Jesus Christ, and to love one another, we can look at that as two commandments. So, verse 22, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments, faith and love. By the way, even the love part is really a dual commandment, because in order to love as Christ loved, you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, it is essential that a believer knows how to be filled with the Spirit. One of the reasons America is in the darkness that we are in, it's a dark continent, and I blame not the politicians, it's the pulpit, the churches, not teaching the truth on how to be filled with the Spirit. And whenever I get into a conversation in the gym or here or there, and I ask people, how are you saved? And a lot of people say, by faith in Christ, and I go, good, how are you filled with the Spirit? And they just look at me like, what? And I, what does your church teach about being filled with the Spirit? And inevitably they say, well, he doesn't really teach on how. I know the results, but not how. And most churches do not teach how to be filled with the Spirit. And it's in Colossians 2, as you have received Him, walk. We are saved by faith in the one that God sent, Jesus Christ. We are restored from sin and empowered by the Holy Spirit, by faith in the Holy Spirit, the one who sent for sanctification. Okay, because we keep His commandments, do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Again, how are you going to do the things that are pleasing in His sight? What is pleasing in His sight? A lot of people have a long list of things. People, I don't know what pleases Him in any given situation, any circumstance. I must depend on the Holy Spirit to guide and to pour His love into me. And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, salvation one, or eternal life salvation, and love one another just as He commanded us. And the one who keeps His commandments abides in Him. This is what we're dealing with in John 14. And He in Him. And we know by this that He abides in us by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. So it is imperative that we know how to be filled with the Spirit. So actually we have a lot of commands here in dealing with this, basically faith in Jesus Christ and then to love one another. But in order to love one another, we have to know how to be filled with the Spirit so He can pour that love into us, and that's by faith in the Holy Spirit. Now, having read that one, let's go to chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 7 a moment. 1 John chapter 2, verse 7. Beloved, these are believers in the beloved, no matter if you sin, no matter what your status is, no matter if you never go to church, and never fill with the Spirit outside of the moment you accepted Christ as Savior, you're in the beloved. You cannot lose that position. It's a family term. Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The beginning of what? Beginning of the church. The upper room, John 13. This, I give a new commandment to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this all will know that you are mine, if you have this love for one another. And how do we have that love? It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. He's not looking for love from the flesh. It's a love from the Holy Spirit. So, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. Okay, now, Let's look one more passage. 2 John chapter 1. Just go over to 2 John a few pages over. 2 John chapter 1. That was only one chapter, but anyway. 2 John 1 verse 5. And now I ask you, lady, not as writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning. That new commandment is that we love one another. So the new commandment is to love one another, which is a commandment to be filled with the Holy Spirit by faith. So he who has these commandments, and what are the commandments? Faith and love. These are the two commandments. He who has my commandments and keeps them. Having the commandments is of little to no value. It's like people who go to church and get lots of knowledge of the Bible. Lots of knowledge. And they just are piling up the knowledge. Knowledge puffs up. Love edifies. Now, I'm not saying a thing in negative about studying the Scriptures, but you want to study them in the power of the Holy Spirit, not in the flesh, and you're studying them to learn more about Him, not so that you can lord it over somebody else with your knowledge. Okay, so having the commandments is of little to no value if you just have them. So just having them gives a false sense of being secure and being approved. And there are a lot of people that go to church just to learn. They go to a teaching church, which is great, and it's just to learn, though. And they think God is impressed that we go and we learn and we have notebooks filled up and all of this. No, it's of no value if you don't keep them. And that's what we're looking at now. Who has the commandments and keeps them? This is a present active participle of tireo. Tireo, in its original form, referred to a warden. A warden of a jail, a warden of a prison. It means to guard. It means to keep. And it comes to mean to keep so as to obey. There's that word that just gets a lot of people off on the wrong tangent, but this word means to keep so as to obey those commandments. Now, the present tense, continually, daily, moment by moment, you keep them, you obey them, you live by them. The active voice is a decision of faith. The only way that we can keep these commandments is by faith. The only commandment of obedience we have is to obey, is faith. You can study this all through Scripture if you want to see it. This is our only point of obedience, to trust, walk in the power of His Spirit by faith. The Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit empowers us. He leads us to do what He wants it done, and He gives us the power to do it where it is glorifying to God. So the obedience isn't to have a list and then to go out and make sure you do this list. That does not earn anything with God. The obedience is the obedience that is faith. Romans chapter 1. The obedience that God is looking for is the obedience that is faith. And I have so many people have so much problem with that. Oh, well, you're just saying it. You do nothing and you just sit there and do nothing but trust. And I like to respond to that by saying, you do that. You do that. You go sit down and you just concentrate. Put your faith in the Spirit. Concentrate on the Spirit. See how long you sit there until you have a thought, go do this and go do that. Go witness to someone. Go be kind to someone. Love someone. Do this, do that. Now, a few people, I think he'll keep you seated for a while. You need to just stay out of trouble. But most Christians, he will lead you. You'll get this. And where do you think that comes from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. He guides. He empowers. And then, it is you reap rewards, as we're studying on Tuesday night, in regard to the judgment seat of Christ. So the active voice of keeping them is, how do we keep them? By faith. So the active voice is a decision of faith. And how do we guard or obey? And this is what this whole context is about. The sending of the Holy Spirit. All of this is in the context of the sending of the Holy Spirit. I, for my part, when I get to heaven, I will ask the Father to send you another Paraclete, another just one just like me. And then we have all these things that are dependent upon the giving of the Holy Spirit. Why the sending of the Holy Spirit? That we might be able to obey by faith these things that Christ wants us to do. So by faith in the Holy Spirit, who empowers us to keep the commandment of love. Love is a result of faith. Galatians chapter 5, nothing else matters. In verse 5, nothing else matters except faith producing love. So this is the commandment. Okay, let's move on. Now, he who has my commandments and keeps them, and keeping them is by faith in the Holy Spirit, he it is who loves me. Okay, first of all, let's look at he. It's a Greek kainos, and it refers to those who have just been mentioned. Those just been mentioned. Those who have and keep the commandments. Those who walk by faith and therefore the commandment of love. That's who is referred to, he. It is present active indicative of I me, used to denote the status quo. This is the status quo of the believer who has the commandments and walks by them, obeys them by faith, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And which is the context that we're dealing with, the giving of the Holy Spirit. He it is who loves me. Okay. First of all, who is a predicate? Plus the present active participle. The present active participle of agapao. And agapao is the verb form. I started to get a long O. Agapao. And this is the verb of agape. This is the love referred to here. So, and the predicate is used to make an assertion about the subject. And the subject here is the born-again believer who has these commandments and walks in them. And who loves me. Me, of course, is a reference to Jesus Christ. Okay. Here we come to the all-important on how to love Jesus Christ. And I mean, I cannot overemphasize how important this is. How important it is. How do we love Jesus Christ? Most people, most Christians, are satisfied with their sincere love, their human love for Jesus Christ, their emotional love for Jesus Christ. They have no concept that love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit and how He pours it into us. This is very important. So this is theirs is a love of the flesh. But people, God is not satisfied with a love that comes from the flesh. In fact, He's not satisfied with anything that comes from the flesh. But He's not satisfied with our love. Our righteousness are as filthy rags before Him. I think we'd be safe in saying our love is as filthy rags before Him. If our righteousness, which is what we have to be justified at salvation, is that important, and it is filthy rags, so much for our love. Our love, flesh love, love that comes from the flesh, filthy rags before Him. Most believers are completely satisfied with their love for Jesus Christ or even for God. Now, is your love the love that God is looking for? We have to ask ourselves that. Is your love the love God is looking for? And this is vital. And we could ask this of even human love. A woman should be able to say, is this man's love for me the love the love I'm looking for? If it isn't, then get out of it. Get out of it. If it's not the, even in human love, if this is not the way I want to be loved, then get out. If this is the way you want to be loved, then carry it on a while and see if He stays with it. But you just got to understand, is your love the love that God is looking for? We're so impressed with our love. Just as we're impressed with our works for God. Oh, I'm impressed with how often I go to church. I'm impressed with how much I give. I'm impressed with how I help people. I'm impressed with how much I learn. People, if this is in the power of the flesh, it doesn't mean anything. It reaps nothing. It's wood, hay, and stubble, straw being burned. But we're so impressed with our love, how deeply we love, how we feel inside. Then we make demands on the objects of our love. but I love you. How can you do this to me? I love you. How can you not do this for me? I love you. People, we have a lot to learn about this important subject of love, even in the human realm, but especially spiritual love. We want to control by our love. But I love you. You ought to roll over when I say roll over. That's what I want out of love. But I love you. Love is not to control. And we get in this thing with God, but I love God, and why He isn't doing this for us, why a lot of Christians become so discouraged and despondent with God in difficult times in their life. But I love God. How can He do this to me? Is your love the love He's looking for? And even if it is, by the way, you don't get to control Him by it. This would be a good place to stop and study for another couple of hours, 1 Corinthians 13, to see the difference in spiritual love, the love of 1 Corinthians 13, and love that comes from the energy of the flesh. But let's just read through it. Let's don't study it, but let's just read through 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8. Let's see what spiritual love looks like. Now, I call it spiritual love because, one, this is a love that must come from a spiritual creature. And when we accept Christ as Savior by faith, we are made a new spiritual creation. Secondly, this is a love that is given to us by the Holy Spirit. This is a gift of the Holy Spirit, fruit of the Holy Spirit. So, therefore, spiritual love. Okay, 1 Corinthians 13, let's just start with verse 1. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels, this is speaking in tongues, but do not have love, I have become an echoing sound. It says noisy gong. It's an echoing sound. What does an echo sound do? We've all done this, I imagine, at some point in our life. And some of us, even as old, are still goofy about it. You get into some big canyon or something. You go, hello! And you go, hello, hello, hello. See, we get to hear our voice come back. It's an echoing sound. And that's the way a lot of people love. They love it. It's an echoing sound. It's, look how great I am. Look how good I am in my love. An echoing sound. A clinging cymbal. Now, the clinging cymbal here deals with a band sort of. I think we can all agree that there's nothing worse than a band just, you know, getting their instruments all warmed up and in tune and all that. They're just making horrible sounds. That's the way human love is. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries, so that's having all this knowledge and all knowledge, and if I had all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give my possessions to feed the poor, and the Greek actually says, so that I myself become poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned for the benefit of someone else spiritually, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Okay, now we come to it. Love is long-suffering. This is not the word for patient. This is the word long-suffering. Macrothumia. Macrothumia. Thumia is suffering. Macro is long. So it's long-suffering. So love, spiritual love, is long-suffering. Human love doesn't suffer very long. All right, I've had it. That's it. We're separating. This is over. I'm not going to take this. So, human love from the flesh is short-lived. Spiritual love is long-suffering. Love is kind. Okay, we remember how we did this. You got the long-suffering of love is inside. No one can see that. It's inside of us. Love is kind is what they do see. And it's what they don't deserve because they've hurt you. But love is kind. Human love, flesh love of the flesh, generally is kind if you deserve it or you merit it. Love is not jealous. All right? Human love is jealous. Spiritual love is not jealous. Love does not brag. So it is not jealous of what God may give someone, but it doesn't brag about what God gives you. It is not jealous means that God can bless some other believer and it doesn't get you out of fellowship. Doesn't break your spiritual momentum. God can bless you, and you won't let it hurt anybody else by bragging about it. And is not arrogant. All right, human love from the flesh is arrogant, even though we want to deny that. It's about me. Look how much I love you. This is what you ought to do for me. And I love you. You shouldn't do that because I love you. My love ought to control you. How could you do that to me? This is from our arrogance. That we're impressed with our love. Spiritual love is not arrogant. It's not occupied with itself. Does not act unbecomingly. First, it's not arrogant. That's inside. But it doesn't act unbecomingly. And a chair flying across the room is unbecoming. Harsh words is unbecoming. How we treat one another. And if we can tell you, nobody has to tell you. All you have to do is listen to your words and watch what you do, and you know if it's unbecoming or not. This is the way you should treat your husband, your wife, your friend, someone at work, someone at church, all these things. But human love acts unbecoming when it doesn't get its way. It does not seek its own. Human love is there for itself. Human love is there for my gain. Is not provoked. That is provoked to anger. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Human love just dwells on that. Wait a minute. I don't deserve you to treat me that way. I love you. And my love doesn't deserve to be treated that way. You treat my love that way, you're wrong. No. If this is spiritual love, the spiritual love is not offended when wronged. It thinks of, why is this other person doing that? What can I do to restore them to fellowship with the Holy Spirit? See, spiritual love is always thinking of the other person, not of self. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. I just like to point out, does not rejoice in unrighteousness. It doesn't say, and then it judges, maligns, tells everyone when you know the unrighteousness of someone else. No, it just doesn't rejoice in it, and rejoices with the truth. And the truth here is they're back in the relationship with God they should be in. And the best thing, spiritual love bears all things. And human love just can only bear so much. This goes along with its long-suffering. Bears all things. And this is the difference between building a relationship on trust, building a relationship on love. I often ask people, what is the one thing that you think a man and woman, if they're married or going to get married, ought to be able to do in regard to each other? How do you trust each other? Yeah, that's it. Got to be able to trust each other. Show me that anywhere in the Bible. Show me that anywhere that you build a relationship on love. You don't do it. It's not there. I said, just show me a verse that implies it. You can't do it. He's given us something stronger to build our relationship with one another on, and that's spiritual love. Why? Trust cannot bear the breakdown of trust, by definition. Build a relationship on trust, you break the trust, boom, it hurts me. I don't know if I can love you anymore, and all this kind of stuff. But spiritual love bears even the breakdown of love. The other person doesn't treat you in love. Believes all things in dealing with this love. Hopes all things. Endures all things. And love never fails. This is spiritual love. This is a love given by the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's turn back to John 14 now. John 14. So, in summary here, we got to ask ourselves, is your love the love Jesus Christ is looking for? See, he who loves me, okay, then this is your love the love that Jesus Christ is looking for? Remember that love from the flesh is from that part of us that is desperately wicked, continually being corrupted, deceitful above all things, evil and insane. People, that kind of being in our flesh nature is not going to produce a love that Christ is looking for. Just isn't going to do it. So you have to know that when it talks about loving him, it isn't just, oh, I love Jesus, oh, how I love him, and boy, I just do anything and I love him and all this. Is it in the flesh or is it in the power of the Holy Spirit? You say it's in the power of the Holy Spirit. How do you gain that power so that he can pour that love into us? The love Jesus Christ is looking for is a love that he gives. That he gives through or by means of the Holy Spirit, whom he has also given us. It's very interesting. If you study the scriptures, God never asks of us anything that he's not first given us. Think about it. He asked for faith to be saved. Where did we get that faith? He gave it to us. Gift of God is a gift of every member of the human race, faith. Now, whether or not you give it back by belief in Jesus Christ, by faith in the Holy Spirit, it's a whole other matter. But every member of the human race is born with faith. So, he asked for love. See, what he has given every member of the human race, the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit pours this love into us. He has given us the source of this love. He never asks us of anything that he has not given us, because nothing comes from us. And if you try to make something come from you by your works, by your whatever it is that you do, your list of do and do, it is of no value before God. It's wood, hay, and straw. He gives us, first of all, faith, for the second, the Holy Spirit, and pours in these things that he's looking for in our life, and we give them back by way of faith. Okay, so is your love for Jesus Christ the love that Jesus Christ desires? Now, back to John 14:21. He, believers who are in Christ, and in whom Jesus Christ is, who has my commandments, faith and love, and keeps them, obeys them by faith. This is the only obedience he's looking for. He it is who loves me. And he who loves me... Okay, I'm sorry, we got to stop a moment and learn something about Scripture. Here's a good place to see something important about Scripture. I want you to note in this verse, just in this verse, I won't even go anywhere else, the definite article for the personal pronoun he. It is not repeated in verse 20. The one who is in me, verse 20 now, the one who is in me and I in them, doesn't say that. It just says he. He. But here it doesn't simply say, he who loves me, he shall be loved by my Father. It doesn't say that. It repeats the description. And it's interesting. But he, it is who loves me, and he who loves me. See what I'm saying? I hope you can follow me. What I'm saying is, look at the phrase, he who loves me is repeated. He who loves me, and he who loves me, I will be in him, all right? So, or the Father will love him. So, here we have a repetition of the phrase, he who loves me, but we didn't have that at the beginning of the verse. So, why the repetition? Why does he say, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me? Well, emphasis, people. The all-important emphasis of loving Jesus Christ. That's why the repetition. It is vital to our lives to love Jesus Christ. It is vital to our life to love the Father. It is vital to our life to love Jesus Christ. And it is vital to fulfill the new commandment to love one another. It's also vital to love the unbeliever. But here it's essential. He who loves me, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me. So therefore it is essential that every believer knows how. How to love Jesus Christ. People, the hows of the Scripture are vital. Be filled with the Spirit and not with wine. Well, I know how to be filled with wine. How are you filled with the Holy Spirit? See? Be filled with the Spirit, not with wine. Not filled with wine. I know how to be filled with wine. Just sit down and start drinking till I'm full. But being filled with the Spirit, how do you do that? And very few people know how to do that. It's vital. If you're going to love him, how do I love him? Is he asking for a sincere love from me? Is that the love he wants? Is from my flesh nature? That's not a good love. That love will let you down. That love will disappoint you. That love may even hurt you. That love is just because we're all rotten. Our flesh nature is desperately wicked, continually being corrupted, full of evil. It's insane, It's deceitful. And we are deceived by our own love because of our flesh nature. So this becomes so important to know how to love Jesus Christ. It is important to love Him. It's vital to know how how to love Him. And therefore, the believer who knows how, knows first of all that love is a fruit of the Spirit. Then the question begs, how do I get that love? How do I get the fruit of the Spirit? And that's a very vital question. And by walking by faith in the Spirit, He does His work. Just by faith in Jesus Christ we're saved, faith in the Holy Spirit, He pours in His fruit and all of His work. Not knowing how to be filled with the Spirit is why most believers are completely satisfied with their love, completely satisfied with their works. And yet He says, your righteousness is filthy rags before Me. So we can't be impressed with how deeply we love and how sincere we love, not knowing the love that He is looking for. Okay, here's verse 21 now. He, the one who is in Christ and within whom Jesus Christ is, coming from verse 20. So verse 20, look at verse 20 and you'll see what I'm saying here. Let me get back to John 14 with you. Alright, in verse 20 we have, in that day you shall know that I am in My Father, and you in Me, and I in you. He, the one who is in the Father, and that Jesus Christ is in. Okay? He. And so that's the He. And then it says, who has My commandments, faith and love, and keeps them. How do we keep them? The obedience, that is faith. And so He, the one who has, the definition of the He changes here. If the first He, in verse 21, goes back to verse 20, who is in Christ and Christ is in them. Now, the He refers to the one who has the commandments and who keeps them. It is He who loves Me. Okay? Who, with the love of Jesus Christ, is looking for spiritual love. And He who loves Me. And so He repeats it again. He doesn't just say, and this one, it shall be loved by the Father. He repeats it again for emphasis. And He who loves Me shall be loved by My Father. Future, passive of agapao. Word for love. They're not different loves in the Bible. There, well, one is phileo, but the love that we mostly have is agapao. Okay. I thought He loved me anyway. What's going on here? All right, let's see if we can clarify this with simplicity. First thing you want to remember, there are three sources of love. There are three sources of agapao, our love. I know a lot of preachers and people just wish, love to have different words. They'd love to have a different word for this and a different word for that. I'm glad we don't. There are some common things about love in any category. So I'm kind of glad we don't. But we can say, well, you know, I love the Lord, and then sit down and eat, boy, I love this food. And then we walk outside, boy, I just love this beautiful day. I just love being in Texas. I just love, boy, I just love this person over here. It's the same word. It's the same word. So let's see what we can do here. And shall be loved by My Father. Okay, three sources of love. First of all, there is divine love. There is divine love. This is love from the source of each member of the Godhead. This is love from the source of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Then there is human love. Human love. This is love from the source of mankind. This is love from the source of our energy of the flesh. This love is as fickle as the person who loves you, or it's as strong as the person who loves you, but it depends on the character of the one who loves you. That's human love. Okay, the third is what we call spiritual love. Spiritual love. And it's called, I call it spiritual love because it's from a new spiritual creation, a new spiritual creation, which we become the moment we believe in Jesus Christ, and it comes from the Holy Spirit inside of the believer who is walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. He pours his fruit of love. Therefore, spiritual love. Now, the quality of love depends on the source. It's from God or human or spiritual love. And just so you can be thinking about, which love do you think of the God's love is up here? But which of these two do you think God is impressed with and is desiring when it says he loves me? Human love or the love that he provides for us? All right. Divine love, perfect love. Perfect love. Human love depends on the quality of the flesh of the person who makes it, who gives it. Spiritual love comes from the Holy Spirit. Therefore, independent of us. It's from the Holy Spirit. It's not something we conjure up by what we think. Oh, I think this is what God will love. I think this is what the Lord will love. It's the way a lot of people love in life. I think this is what she would like. I think this is what he would like. And you don't even know the person. You don't know what they like. You haven't taken time to examine, to know their soul, know their wants, their needs and things. Then once you do that, then you can love them and give them things that they will want. Now, shall be loved by my Father. This is divine love. It's in the future. Passive participle, the future tense, after the giving of the Holy Spirit, and dependent on our loving of Jesus Christ in the Holy Spirit. Passive voice. Passive voice. The passive voice is of issue. Passive voice in the Greek. Sometimes we have to look at the Greek because there's a lot of great truth, little jewels that are in the Greek language. This is called the passive voice. Passive voice is the voice of grace. The subject receives the action of the verb on the basis of grace. It will be loved by the Father. This is grace. We do not earn or deserve the love from God. We never do earn that love. So this is the passive voice. It is not earned. It is graciously given. And is graciously received by faith. No one can earn the love of God. Any member of the Godhead. It is received by non-meritorious faith. Okay. First, there are two things I want us to understand about love in tonight's message. There's a great deal to understand. But first of all, one of the most fundamental things about spiritual love, and it should be of our human love, one of the most fundamental things about love is that love sees a need. In other words, one of the first things you want to learn about love, love is observant. Love is observant. It observes the object of its love. Let's take God. He looked down and saw the need of mankind. And the only thing that would meet that need is his Son going to the cross. So his love saw a need and his love met the need. Whenever you can meet the need, love will do it. And he looked down and he saw us in need. And he sent his Son. He saw us in need of unable to love him. Unable to obey him, so he sends the Holy Spirit. So love sees a need. Most people, their love that comes from the flesh, they're occupied with himself. They don't even think of the other person. But this kind of love, and it can be incorporated in spirit, in your love for each other, this, it's observing all the time. What can I need? It's tone sensitive. It's body language sensitive. It's just sensitive to the need. Unfortunately, too many people are so occupied with themselves, they never see the need of someone else. The person that they are married to, or the person they love, person at work, person at church. But this love that comes from the Holy Spirit is observant. It listens, it sees, and then it will meet it will meet that need. Okay, the second thing we want to know about love, second major thing for tonight, want to know that'll help us understand God will love, God the Father will love you. I thought he always did, so that's what I'm aiming at here. Another issue of great importance is that love has three aspects. One, love as direction. Now, people, I'm not just up here wasting time. This is going to help us understand, I thought he loved me already. So love has direction. The second aspect is that love has magnitude. That's the measurability of love. And then the third is that love has impact or effect. Impact or effect. Now, most people, preachers, theologians, try to make a distinction between the love that's in this passage. The Father will love you, love him. Thou shalt be loved by my Father. And the love of, say, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And they want to say, this one love, oh, there are all kinds of ways they explain it, but this one love is an impersonal love, whatever that is. This love is not to be compared with a, it's like having a love for a dog and a love for your spouse, and just so many different ways. People, it's the same love. Let's just get that down so we'll cancel out our problems of understanding he loved and he shall be loved if we love his son. So let's take a look how this works in a deal where God's love toward a believer. Now, as if they want to deal with this as there's two different loves that come from the Father. This is simple. Love has direction. Love has magnitude. Love has impact or effect. Okay, this is true of the love of the source of God, divine love. His love has direction, magnitude, and impact. And let's just kind of lay a foundation. For God, there's a source, so loved the world. That's a direction, right? The love is the world, unbelievers. That he gave his only begotten Son. That's the magnitude of his love. It's the greatest magnitude he could give. An impact or effect, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we have direction, magnitude, impact, or effect. Okay. Now, this is not two different loves here. So let's kind of work with these. The source of the love is the same in John 3:16, in John 14:21. Let's just deal with these two passages. And so we have John, the Gospel of John 3:16, and the Gospel of John 14:21. Okay, those are our two. The source of both of these is from the Father. For God so loved the world, loved by the Father. So they're both from the God the Father. Okay, now let's look at the direction. The direction of love in John 3:16 is the world. Unbelievers. That all unbelievers on earth. While in 14:21, the direction of his love is born again believers walking in the power of the Spirit, loving his Son. Okay, that's the direction. So we understand that. Now let's go to magnitude. This is where we come to the difference. This is where we come to the primary difference. Continues to explain the difference. When God so loved the world, the greatest manifestation, the greatest magnitude that he could give to the world was what they needed, his Son dying on a cross. That's all he could give them. That's all that he could give them. That was their need, was that he sent his Son to die on the cross. So the greatest demonstration of his love was determined by the need of the object. The greatest demonstration the Father can give, the object of his love being the world, is that he gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross, paying the penalty of the sins of the world. This is the greatest love God could give the world of unbelievers. Now, our context. The magnitude of God's love toward believers, filled with the Spirit, loving his Son in the power of the Spirit, is the great expression of his love that he could make to these believers. Such things as knowledge of him. He will reveal himself. People, he can't reveal himself if you're not in the Spirit. This is the greatest thing that God can do for us, is to reveal himself, make himself manifested to us. Same thing with Jesus Christ, but we're dealing with the Father. The greatest thing that he could do is reveal himself. Now, he reveals himself to the unbeliever, like we saw in Romans chapter 1, by the creation, magnitude of the creation, these things that all people can see. All people can, yes, there's a God. I know there's a God. I know there's a creator. And then if we grow older, we say, no, I don't believe that anymore. I don't believe in creation. And then they reject Jesus Christ. So, that was the greatest thing he could do for them. But for the believer, walking in the Spirit, this is a very specific class of people. This is not all believers. That believer who walks in the power of the Spirit pours in love, and they express that love to Jesus Christ. God the Father says, wow. You love that which I love, my Son, and I will reveal myself to you. People, this is just, it's going to be fantastic when we come to Jesus Christ and he reveals himself to us. You don't reveal yourself to someone that doesn't love you. You just don't do it. We don't do it. That's just a friend or a casual acquaintance, or I wish this person loved me, but they don't. We don't reveal ourselves. Let's take even a prostitute. A prostitute will reveal their body, but they won't reveal their soul. They won't love. They're not going to. We do not do it. And neither does God. Why would I want to reveal myself to someone who doesn't love me enough to walk in the Spirit by faith that I've given them and have that Spirit pour into love for my Son? Why would I want to reveal myself? You don't even want it. If we want Christ to reveal himself to us, if we desire God the Father to reveal himself to us, and we'll come to what that means in a few minutes, maybe next week, but we'll have him reveal us if we walk in this power of the Spirit. But if we don't have the desire to even walk in his Spirit, we don't have the desire to love him by the power of the Spirit, why would he reveal himself to us? He's not going to reveal himself to us. We don't want it, so why do it? Nobody reveals their love to someone who doesn't want it. In fact, you just, what do? You pull back. You flinch. You try to reveal yourself. They make it obvious they don't want to know about you. We flinch back. And this relationship's over. They don't want me. They don't want to know me. So I'm not going to reveal myself. Okay, God the Father. They don't want to know me enough to walk in my Spirit by faith, and love my Son. So, I'm not going to reveal myself. But boy, you walk in his Spirit. By faith in his Spirit, he empowers you. You're walking in the power. Then the Holy Spirit can now reveal, manifest Christ to you and God the Father to you through the study of Scripture and to other things that we'll look at when we come to that. But I hope you see what I'm saying here. This is a wonderful thing going on in revealing himself. It's a very powerful effect. Now, the third distinction. Let me finish this. I know what time it is. Let's finish this. The third distinction of his love is impact or effect. Okay? Let's take the impact or the effect of the love of God toward the unbelieving world. His love toward them has a great impact, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the impact of his love. So we have the direction, the magnitude, he gave his only begotten Son, and now we have the impact of the fact, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The impact or effect in regards to believers is the greatest impact that God could give. He's going to reveal himself. He's going to manifest himself to us. We're going to have a personal... I know so many believers that do not have an intimate relationship with the Father, and I think that's a shame. so many, and I hope this kind of pricks your soul so you'll sit down and think about it. Most Christians get hung up on Jesus Christ. They never make it to the Father, and He tells us that's why He came, is to bring us to the Father. And another group of Christians get all hung up on the Holy Spirit. They don't understand that correctly. And they never get to the Father. I feel so sorry that very few Christians have an intimate, personal relationship with God the Father, where He can reveal Himself. So much is to know about Him. And you're not going to learn it studying the Bible in the energy of the flesh. It's going to be something that He will reveal spiritually in our souls. So God sees the need of the unbeliever, and He sees the need of what we need as believers, walking in the flesh, filled with the Spirit, an intimate relationship with God the Father, an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Boy, that carries you through disappointments. That carries you through sins that you commit. That carries you through circumstances in life, divorce, illness, severe illness, financial problems, all these things. We have this intimate relationship with knowing Christ, and just to know Him. Just to know Him is to love Him. Hey, that ought to be the title of a song. All right, now, this is very powerful. What the impact of His love, the effect of His love has on us. So when it says, "And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father," this is not a different kind of love than John 3:16. Both are divine love. Both see the need. Both have direction. Both have magnitude. Both have impact or effect. But it's because of the object. When we are unbelievers, we're not ready for the spiritual love. We're not ready to know Him intimately. We don't even know Him. But when we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, and we walk in the power of His Spirit, it's a whole other need. The only thing I could respond to of His love as an unbeliever was His Son. Now, as a believer, respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit and Scripture and in Him revealing Himself to me. He who loves me shall be loved by my Father. And then the next line, I will love him and will disclose myself to him. This will be where we'll begin next Wednesday night, is with that phrase. I'm sorry we didn't get through with the verse. I would have loved to have gotten this in one message, in one session, but we didn't, and we'll just have to pick it up next Wednesday night. Any questions on what we've studied? He who loves me shall be loved. He who has my commandments keeps them. And these things we've seen. Any questions in it? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. I know that I'm not that clear of a teacher, but if y'all don't want to ask me questions, that's okay. All right. Spirit will have to make up for it. I turn things over when I do. Can you lose out? I let him do it. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Wow. What an unbelievable passage. What unbelievable expression of love. Our love for Christ. God the Father's love for us. Christ revealing Himself to us. The Father revealing Himself to us. What more would we want? How much money could we earn or have that would even come close to have the Father and the Son revealed to us in our souls? What could even be compared with that? Paul said he just considers the world as nothing compared to knowing Him, knowing your Son. We get so occupied with things of this world. We get so caught up in the things of this world. And yet we have the greatest of love that we could ever have. And that's you and your Son revealing yourselves to us. Taking us, as it were, into the inner chamber. Letting us know so much about you. Intimately, personally, spiritually. Father, we thank you for this passage. Pray that you'll take the things we've noted. Let them sink into the foundation of our soul and be manifested in our lives. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.